Well, you know, I know this past few months, you know, going into this year, you know, it's been a tough time, and I know that we've lost a couple of battles along the way. So that's what I want to share with you tonight. It's about, you know, in that we might have lost a couple of battles over the past few months, but we have not lost the war.
Amen.
You need to get that clear inside you. Even though we lose battles, we might lose a battle here and there, we keep on waging the war. We keep on fighting the war. We don't stop. And believe me, if there's one person that's had to come and realize that, it's me. It doesn't matter who you are or what point you're at in your walk with God. The enemy is always going to come and try to find a way to test you and test your walk of faith. So, you might have lost a battle along with us, but you have not lost the war. You know, I can remember a time, you know, and you were probably this way too. But, you know, church starts at 7. Anyhow, I'll cut that out of tape. I didn't name any names or anything. You know, back when we first got born again, you know, and probably you were this way. I know I was, and along with some others with me, we were kind of, you know, when we got born again and started in this walk with God, I mean, we were ready to charge hell with a water pistol. You know, we were ready to take it by force, and it says that the righteous will take it by force. Somewhere along the way, we seem to fall into this place that all of a sudden that doesn't apply like it did when we first got born again and was all excited about Jesus and this walk with Him, and that we would just take a water gun and go after any devil. Somewhere along the way, we backed off of that.
That's true.
And that applies just as much today as it did then. And I know that we made mistakes along the way when we were young in Christ. You know, we took things out of context and, you know, out of the Word of God, and things didn't quite exactly apply like we might have thought it did at that point in our lives. But the principle was still the same today as it was then. We're to take it by force. Go after the devil and take his ground. Take this ground that actually belongs to Jesus. Take it by force and take it back for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That's what we're called to do. That's part of our walk. And I can remember those times that when, you know, I can especially remember one thing that he kept bringing to my remembrance. And, you know, he'll do that along the way. He'll bring things to your remembrance, especially if you're getting off in the wrong direction or if you're not quite got the fire in your belly that you once had. You know what I mean, don't you? The fire in the belly?
Yeah.
The hunger and the thirst for the things of God and for taking things for the kingdom of God. And I can remember that, you know, before I got born again, when I was in the real estate business, you know, I mean, I don't ever remember, even before I got born again, of doing anything illegal or doing anything that I was even ashamed of at this time in the way of business, in the way of operating a real estate company. I don't remember of one thing that I did even before I got born again. But I could tell you this. I wanted what was mine, and I was going to take it. And I was going to go after it, and I wasn't going to stop until I had it. Well, then I can remember, you know, the week that I got born again, and then later the week that I got filled with the Spirit, and, you know, it seemed like me and everybody else around me that were involved in everything, It's like we were walking in this peace, all right, but all of a sudden we had this feeling like, you know, well, it's just going to happen, you know. You know, don't fight for it like you did. Well, you are to walk in the peace. I mean, we've preached that from here from the pulpit from the very beginning. You're to walk in peace. That's what the Word of God tells us to do, is to walk in peace. You know, that's to be part of our life. We're to have a life of peace. But that doesn't mean that you back off from going after something that God has directed you to do. If He's given you a job, if He's given you a healthy body, you're not to back off. You're to keep claiming it. You're to keep walking it out. You're to keep going. You're not to stop. You're not to lose the hunger inside you from driving you on to victory. You're not to do that until the day that you enter heaven's gate. You're to continue on. And don't stop. And don't let that hunger die. Don't let that fire inside die. And there's a way that you can do that. But it's going to take more than sitting on a church pew and coming to church every service. That's the quickest way to die. Is to come and just sit on a church pew. That's the quickest way to die spiritually. That's the quickest way to die physically. That's the quickest way to lose your peace. That's the quickest way to go backwards, is to come in, sit on a pew, and not do nothing. This is your church.
Amen.
Act like it. This is your church. You want to keep this church? If you want to keep this church, you'll come in here and become a part of it and take it by force. Take this community by force. If you don't, God will just release it and say, close the doors. I mean, why would He want to keep another religious organization open? He's got 100 or so of them around this little town of Ulysses. Why would He want one more sitting here doing nothing? But you have to have the fire in your belly and the drive to go ahead and take it. By force. You can't stop. Just because you think you might be praying in tongues doesn't mean you stop. Just because you know about fasting doesn't mean you stop. Just because you know about confession and worship doesn't mean you stop. You want to keep healing in your body? You're going to have to take it by force. The devil's not going to let you just slide by and keep your healing. He's not going to let you keep a healthy body. He's not going to let you keep your job or your way to make money for the kingdom of God unless you're taking it by force and using it the way He wants you to use it. See, it's all a matter of obedience to Christ. If He gave you a job, He gave you a job for a reason. Yes, it was to be a vehicle for you to put food on the table. I understand that. But folks, there is more to it than just paying the bills and putting groceries on the table. There is more to it than that. There is more to it than just having a healthy body and sitting on a church pew. The reason you have that healthy body is so you can go out and proclaim the name of Christ. But you have to take it by force. The devil's not going to let you just slide by. So when we got, you know, when I got filled with the Spirit, you know, it's like the drive left. The fire left to get things done in the real estate business, in the company that I was a part of. It wasn't just me. And one day, we were talking in the office and we woke up and realized that we had let it slide by, that we weren't taking things the way we were supposed to take them. Just because we got born again and filled with the Spirit and spoke with tongues doesn't mean that we were to stop making money for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And we, you know, we might look at things differently because of the word, but we still were to keep the drive and keep going the direction that we once were.
Amen.
We weren't just to give up and let the devil have it. I get really, sometimes I get really aggravated when I see Christians just rolling over and letting the devil have something. You don't do that. You keep that fire and you keep that drive and you just say, Lord Jesus, I want what's mine. Now tell me what to do next.
Right.
And then you obey what he says to do next. Because that will keep you on the right track. But you keep pushing. You keep marching. You keep going forward. How many of you prayed for the presidential elections this year? Or how many of you, maybe I should say this, how many of you rolled over and played dead? Do you think it's any different now than it was 8 years ago when God wanted a righteous man in the office of President of the United States? It's not any different today than it was 8 years ago. He still wants a righteous man in that office. And the righteous do what? Take it by force. In the Spirit. You don't just roll, oh well, God will get what he wants. I don't have to worry about it. I'm at peace with it. God will get who he wants. How about being at peace with the fact that you got in the prayer closet and got on your knees and went after God's man for the office of president? And then for the next 4 years, you lifted him up and held up his arms to make sure he stayed on track. How about that? Say, well, I don't think you're supposed to do things like that from a pulpit. There was nothing political about that. I'm telling you that God wants a righteous man in that office. And the only way he's going to get his way is when Christians hit their knees and begin to pray for the righteous to take it. You don't just sit by and say, well, whatever happens, happens. That is false doctrine. We don't need any more weak-kneed Christians. There's plenty of them throughout the world. And I'm just using that as an example. We could take any area of your life that you wanted to take, and it would be the same thing. You're to take it by force. You're to not stop. You're to go forward. You're to take the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and begin to cut the head off of the devil and go forward and take back the ground that he holds illegally. Any ground that the devil holds, regardless what area it's in, whether it be in your body, in your finances, in the area of peace, in the area of the political arena in the United States, any area that the devil has, he has it illegally. He has no right to it. Maybe you need to start praying. You know, that's what we've been talking about now for several years. Praying in the Holy Ghost, fasting, confession of the Word, worship. Maybe it's time to keep it in action. You don't do it for just a little while. You don't pray for 5 minutes. You pray continually without ceasing. And you do what? You stand steadfast. You don't give way to ground. Doesn't matter if we lost a battle or two. We have not lost the war. We haven't lost the war. We have not lost the war. Just because we lose a battle doesn't mean we lost it. Still going forward. Not going to stop. We still want a healthy body. But going to take back the ground. Take it back. Going to take it back. We say, well, how do I take it back? Well, I think if there's one area, that maybe, and I'll take the blame for it, if there's one area that maybe we fell short in, it's assuming that everyone has the same foundation of faith that I have or some of the others have. Assuming that every person that enters the church, oh, well, they've had that foundation of faith. They've heard that faith message. They don't need to hear it. You know, we just assume that they've heard it or that some of you have heard it, and actually you haven't. And actually you don't have it. See, you build a house starting with the foundation, and you build it up block by block, block by block, up the walls, up with the walls, up with the trusses, on with the roof, in with the windows, partitions on the inside, the nice little furniture. You build it all step by step. And it seems, from what the Holy Spirit is telling me, that we might have missed a step. Maybe even the first one. All right. Hallelujah. Well, I guess church is over. We can go now. Okay. Turn with me. I hope you brought your Bibles, because you're going to need it. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I think we've assumed too much at times. We've assumed that everybody has a certain part of the Word of God, a certain thing in the Word of God, and then we find out that they really don't, because they don't know what to do with them. They ain't doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, I can tell you, go and pray in tongues. And you would know about praying in tongues because you've heard about it now for about 7 or 8 years. At least. Probably more. Most of you. And you would know to go and pray in tongues, but then some of you would still get off in wrong areas and go the wrong direction or hear a wrong voice, not hearing God. Because why? Because you did not know what God sounded like. You did not know God's voice because you did not know what God would say if He spoke to you. Well, how are you going to know God's voice and that you heard a voice that was God's if you don't know what God would say? And there's only one way that you're going to find out what God can say, what God will say when He does speak to you. And that's through this, the Word of God. And so we talk about praying in tongues, which is part of the Word of God. We talk about fasting, which is part of the Word of God. We talk about confession, taking the Word and confessing it to change those things around us. We talk about worship, giving God the glory, bringing in His presence in our life, worshiping Him. We talk about all those things. All those things are a part of the Word of God. But we don't spend enough time. We don't spend enough time talking about getting in the Word and getting it down inside us, where we'll know what God is saying when He speaks.
Amen. That's right.
Do you know that you can hear a voice that might sound like God and that it isn't God? Do you know how many people think in the past that they've heard God and they didn't? Denominations that were once a move of God started out with a man hearing God, got off into error because they heard a strange voice that sounded like God and it wasn't. Had they have taken time to apply principles in the Word of God and meditate the Word of God out, they would have seen in the Word. They didn't have to go to any man or anyone else. They would have seen in the Word, had they have meditated it out, that they were getting off in an error and needed the correct direction and go a different direction. They would have seen it. But the devil, he can put on pressure. He can come disguised as God's voice. acting like, trying to act like God, sorta, kinda, saying things that sorta, kinda sounds like God, making it look good, making it look like this ought to be the way to go, and our flesh will just follow right along. Well, we want to hear God. We have a desire to hear God. We have a desire to follow God and go the direction that God goes. But if we don't have something to keep us in line and keep us on track and going the right direction, we'll go off and fall for anything that comes along. Every whim of doctrine we'll take off following. Our flesh wants to get $5, so we'll get $100. So then a preacher comes saying he's heard the voice of God, and that if you give $5, you'll reap 100-fold, so you'll get 500. Does that figure out? Does my math figure out right? You give five and you get back 500-fold. And so we're quick to take out our checkbooks and write that $5. But then we take the Word of God and we find out that all of a sudden that He wasn't talking about money when He said reaping 100-fold. That He was talking about something even more important, filling heaven with people. And so what do? We put up our checkbook. See, we want to find the truth. And the truth, the only way you're going to find it is meditating the Word of God. Taking it apart, keeping it together in context, and taking it apart word by word. Getting it down inside you and getting the truth and letting your teacher, the Holy Spirit, guide you into all truth. That's what the Word says about the Holy Spirit, is that He'll guide you into all truth. That He'll guide you into all truth. And we think, well, that's just going out and picking out the dress that He wants me to have off the dress rack. Well, He wants you to dress nice, and He wants you to have those desires of your heart. But He's after much more than that. He's after guiding you into all truth, that you'll have a healthy body and a healthy pocketbook, that you can go and get a million people saved while you're here on this earth. That's what He wants to do. That's why He wants to guide you into all truth, that not one person will be lost, that not one family member will be lost, that not one relative, not one child in the family will be lost, not one person will end up in deception, but all will end up in the kingdom of God. That's what He wants. He wants to guide us into all truth, take us the right direction. But if we don't give Him something to work with, it's kind of hard. If we got false things in our lives and things that are not correct in our lives, in our thinking, if we got these thinking problems, if we got this thinking problem, we're going to have something that He can work with. Well, the only thing that He can work with, because He stays in line with it, is the Word of God. That's the only thing that He can work with. And if you don't have that Word down inside you, He don't have nothing to keep you in line with. Tries to get your attention, you go off the wrong way, the wrong direction. Can't get you back because He doesn't have nothing to use to get you back with. Because you think you're going the right direction, you've already made up your mind and you have nothing inside you to correct you. Call the Word of God. If you had the Word of God inside you, you wouldn't get very far down that path, because He would bring you right back, because that Word would light up like a light bulb and show you that this path was wrong. He has to have something, folks. He has to have something to work with. We're the only ones that can give Him something to work with. We're the only ones that can give Him that authority to do what He needs in our lives. How do we give Him that authority? by getting in the Word of God, praying in the Spirit, and letting the Holy Spirit come and change our direction and get us going the right way. When we're going wrong, He can change us and make us go right. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." So we find out one thing here, or we find out several things, but the first thing that we find out is that we've got to have weapons. Second thing we find out for sure, once again we see that we are in a war. You wouldn't have warfare if you weren't in a war. It's not just sit on the pew and coast along. You're in a war.
Right.
And if he gets a chance, the devil's going to kill you.
Right.
He plays dirty. And he's not dumb. He studied you for several thousands of years. He's got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. If he can get you off in the wrong direction or take something away from you that was meant for God's glory, he'll do it. Including your body. Including your finances. The time to start praying. The time to start studying the Word of God is now. Say, well, it's not too late. No, it's not too late. You might have messed up in the past and not been in the Word of God or not spending time in prayer, but it's not too late. Check your pulse. If it's still beating, it's not too late. You can start tonight. But we find out here that there must be a war going on or there wouldn't be any warfare. And there wouldn't be any need for any weapons if there wasn't a war. And it tells us what kind of weapons they are. They're not carnal. Our weapons are not carnal. They're spiritual for pulling down strongholds. Well, okay, if the weapons aren't carnal, then the strongholds must not be carnal. Oh yeah, we can have things in our flesh that we yield to. But what he's saying here is that you have weapons that are mighty for pulling down strongholds. And if your weapons are not carnal, then you must need them because they're spiritual. So the strongholds might be a little bit spiritual, don't you think? Maybe something is wrong with our thinking. Maybe we're hearing the wrong voice. Maybe we don't have anything to stand on. Do you have a footing underneath you? Well, in the natural realm, you have this floor that you're standing on tonight, which is connected to the earth underneath. But what do you have spiritually to stand on? Do you have anything spiritually to stand on? Well, the only thing that's going to do you any good is the foundation, which is called the Word of God. You've got to start with a foundation in your life. How do you know that you can be healed if you don't know that it's available to you? How does anyone know that they can be healed if it's not preached to them that they can be healed? That Jesus took every infirmity up on His back. How do they know that they can be saved if the gospel of salvation is not preached? That doesn't mean from a pulpit. That means from you telling them. That's preaching the gospel. When you tell someone about Christ and say, you don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to walk in emotional turmoil. You can be free and you can be saved by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking about being preached to. It's not from the pulpit necessarily. It can be. It is tonight. But if you go out that door and you meet someone on the street and you start telling them about the love of God, you're preaching the gospel. And how are they going to be saved unless somebody takes the gospel? I mean, everybody has probably already in this town, there's probably not one person in this town that hasn't entered a church door. Every one of them have probably entered a church door. But that doesn't mean that they're all born again. That doesn't mean that they're all saved. Just because you sat in a church one time, or just because you sat in a church all your life, doesn't mean that you're born again. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is what matters. So how are they going to know that, though, if somebody doesn't take the good news to them? They can actually go to heaven. My dad didn't know it until someone took the good news to him, one-on-one. He didn't learn about it from a pulpit. He didn't get reality and the real thing from a pulpit. He probably should have, and he probably had it available at different times, but he didn't get it that way. It took somebody one-on-one to say, now this is how it is. And this is what you got to do, and this is what's going to happen when you do it. It took somebody that way, or he wouldn't be in heaven right now. You going to let them all slide into hell just because you didn't take time out on your job or somewhere to tell them about Jesus? What was more important, that trip to Walmart? I knew we'd get to Walmart tonight. What was more important, that trip to Walmart or keeping them from sliding into hell? Well, the only way you're going to accomplish some of this is to use the weapons that are available to you. It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. Well, if he said that they're mighty in God and they're for the pulling down of strongholds, it must be that there's some strongholds that need pulled down, or he wouldn't have said that. So we got to come face to face with ourselves and what things in our life, what things in our thinking. Let's just go on here for a minute and we'll come back to that. He says, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments. Now, I'm reading New King James. I can't remember what the old King James says, but casting down of arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Let me ask you something. How are you going to know if something is exalting itself against the knowledge of God? How are you going to know if this voice comes to you and says that it says a certain thing, that you're not healed or that, you know, or this or that? How are you going to know that if you don't have the knowledge of God in you? These weapons are to pull down strongholds built in your life by previous teachings that caused problems in your life that kept you from having everything that God promised you. And above all, kept you from even knowing that it was yours to begin with. How are you going to know if it's exalting itself against God if you don't have the knowledge of God inside you? How are you going to, if you don't know what God thinks, and you don't know what God says, and how he thinks, how he looks at things, how he looks at your situation, how he looks at your life, how he looks at your family, how are you going to know that unless you have the knowledge of God inside you? At some point, you've got to begin to find out about God. Now, I know that sounds strange to some of you. You've got to start finding out about God. You've got to get to know God. Well, I pray 5 minutes ain't enough. Well, I read the Word. One scripture every 6 months is not enough. The only way you're going to find out about the knowledge of God, the only way you're going to know about God, knowledge is knowing. Knowledge is knowing. The only way you're going to know about God is to get in here and find out what He's like, what He's about, how He thinks, what He does. That's the only way. This is your weapon. Ephesians calls it the sword of the Spirit. How are you going to destroy the enemy and take back ground if you don't have it a weapon to stop him with? And if the weapon is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, if that's the weapon, if you don't have it, what are you going to do? You have to have the weapon. You have to have the Word of God, or you're not going to stop Him in your life. And you're not going to know when He's speaking to you and what voice is His unless you have something to compare it to. This is what you compare that voice to. You think you've heard God? Find out if it's in here. You want to make a stand against something that's coming against your life, whether it be health in your body or sickness or infirmity in your body or whether it be lack of finances, you want to make a stand and take that ground back, you're not going to be able to do it without the sword of the Spirit and something to stand steadfast to, a foundation called the Word of God. That's the only way you're going to be able to do it. I take full responsibility for this congregation not spending enough time and being taught enough about the Word of God. Oh, you've heard the Word of God. You hear it every time I come. You hear it every time, all the time I've gone. From these two, you hear the Word of God. But have you been getting in it and knowing God? Have you been getting the knowledge of God on the inside of you? Have we been pushing you to? Probably not enough. You've got to have the Word of God to make a stand. Now, it's good to take a scripture and confess it over your situation and your life. Listen, folks, there's more to it. There's more to the Word of God. It doesn't just stop with one scripture. Am I making myself clear?
Amen.
Is this message getting across? Is it fitting anybody in here besides me? You cannot have a weapon against the enemy unless you know the Word of God, unless you know God's voice. The only way you're going to know God's voice is to know the Word of God and make sure you've heard God's voice. Because He will come. The devil will come as an angel of light. He'll come looking, acting, and smelling part of the time like God. And he's not. And he'll come to the most elite, the most taught, those that have spent time with God, He'll come to them acting like He's God and talking like He's God, and yet they'll be deceived also. You say, well, what hope have I got if that happens? I must not have any hope if He can deceive them. Yes, you do. You have the same thing at your disposal that we do or that others do, and that is the Word of God. You've got praying in other tongues, knowing the Holy Spirit, the one that will guide you into all truth. You have access to that. But you don't understand. I've been praying. No, you haven't. You haven't been praying. If you pray, we will see changes. Things will change in your life. Love will come in. Caring about Ulysses and the salvation of this town will start coming from you. It will come from your lips. We will know it. If you've been praying, we will know it. If you haven't been praying, you're lying to me. We know when you pray and when you don't. I really should have gave you an opportunity to leave tonight before we started. the fruit shows. If you're taking in the Word of God and you're praying, the fruit will show. If you're not, it will show. Stand here. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. How many? How many might think about getting in the Word of God a little bit more? Hallelujah. That's the only way you're going to have a foundation to stand on. That's the only way. That's your only option. That's your only option. Now, I don't know some of you here, and some of you I do.